Let's take our Bible tonight, turn into the book of 1 Corinthians, get God's library open. Heaven's book. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been dealing with some of the mysteries, and we're going to deal with another tonight. I thought about getting two, and we might try one after this one if we get time, but I believe we'll spend our time probably on this one, at least enough to where we will not have enough time to get into the other. And I want to look at something tonight. If you find and get what we got going tonight in this mystery, it will help you to understand the different beliefs on the comings of the Lord. Now, the Lord's done been here once. Amen. He came as a babe in a manger. They didn't receive Him. They rejected Him. They crucified Him. He came to His own. His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, thank God, them He gave power to become the sons of God. And I give God the glory for that. He's come the first time. Now, we're looking for Him to come again. So are the Jews. Amen. And a lot of people are getting mixed up about when He's coming. And yeah, I found out in the Bible, I know exactly when the Lord is coming. I don't believe in date setters. I don't believe that anybody can put a time or a date on the calendar when the Lord's coming. I heard whether some folks sold everything they had, moved off different places and just waited for the Lord to come. It didn't show up. There's been false prophets come through, said He's coming on a certain time. It didn't happen. And they changed their date. They said they made a mistake, and I said, amen. So I know exactly, reading the Word of God, when He's coming. It's at the appointed time. Amen. That help you any? Don't know any more than you did, do you? Amen. So I know any hour, any day. Could be today, could be tomorrow. Amen. It could be before we get out of this service tonight. But I'm looking for Him. I'm glad I'm ready. 1 Corinthians, let's stand tonight, 15th chapter. Let's read over in verse number 51. This is an important scripture, and at the same time, of course, all of it's important. But look at verse 51, and notice what He said. Behold, I show you a what? Mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I like that little word all in there. You look that up when you get home, that word all. You know what it means? All. Amen. That's right. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated. And let's pray together. Pray tonight with me as we seek the face of God for wisdom from the throne. Father, give us wisdom tonight. Give us understanding, or open the understanding of our mind that we might be able to comprehend the Scriptures. Lord, help us to rightly divide the Word of truth, that, Lord, we not put anything in the Scriptures that are of any private interpretation, but, Lord, that we would use the Scriptures by the Spirit of God to be revealed to us the truth. Lord, may we tonight magnify the Word of God and lift up the Lord Jesus, and may we learn something in these little simple truths that you placed in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach anything tonight that's different than I've ever preached. I've been preaching these same truths down through the years. But I would like to reach out and get them in a different manner that we might come at a different angle to understand a little bit more of what's going on. Now, this is the mystery tonight of the coming of the Lord, or the mystery of the rapture. Now, I realize the first thing somebody's going to say is, preacher, that word rapture is not in the Bible. That's right, but caught up is, amen. And that's what it means. Now, let me give you this. Saints of God are looking for the coming. When we talk about the second coming, we're actually talking about in the day of grace, when the Lord will come in the air to receive the saints of God. We're going to look at this. Now, we've already dealt with these mysteries, some of them, and I'll give you those which they are. First of all, we dealt with Israel that's been put on the sideline, and God will pull her back out one day and work with her. Now, Israel could not see that in the Old Testament. All these mysteries I'm giving you tonight, and have preached in days past, are mysteries that were not revealed in the Old Testament. You've got to remember this. The Old Testament is said to be the Word of God enfolded. In other words, it's in it, the God has put it in it. And the New Testament is the Word of God unfolded, or outfolded. And if we understand and see the things in the New Testament, they will reveal the things that were in the Old, and that they worked in harmony together. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, by looking at that tonight, the Jews never known or did not even think about ever being put on the sideline like they are tonight, and God working with the Gentile. They could not see the Gentile. They couldn't see the church, and we hadn't seen the mystery of the church yet. We'll deal with that in a later lesson. Then we studied the mystery of godliness, how that God sent His Son. He's born of a woman, seen of angels, was buried, and rose and ascended back up into heaven. Brother, that is a mystery that they could not see in the Old Testament. And then we've talked about last week the mystery of preaching, how that God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to win men and women over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we touched on the mystery of the Spirit of God, and we didn't give it justice, but we know tonight that the Spirit of God did not dwell in the people in the Old Testament, but He dwells in us in the New Testament. But the Israelites could not see that. Now, by saying that tonight, a mystery simply means a shut mouth. It means an imposed silence for a period of time, but it also means it's something that's previously been hidden that God wants to bring out at a particular time, and so He's used the New Testament to do that. God has got many hidden truths. He's got many hidden wisdoms in the Bible, and He's given us an opportunity to understand them. But now He's revealed them by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and by the men of God. Those are the three ways that He's got it out. And so in the day of the church, in the day of grace today, we can understand these mysteries. Now, a mystery in the New Testament is something that cannot be understood, if you will, except when God divinely, purposely says we can understand it. Now, these things that I'm preaching tonight and days past, we understand them simply because God has revealed them to us, and we can take them from the Word of God. Now, every one of us has to deal, every person has to face sin to some degree. Now, listen to this for a minute just to get the thought and get started. First of all, Christ died for sin. When He died on the cross of Calvary, He died for the sin of the whole entire world. All men, all women, amen, whether it be male or female, whether it be a Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, free or bond, Christ died for the sin of the entire world, regardless who they are. Not only that, He not only died for it, but He became sin for the entire race. And so He became sin for us. And praise God for that. Now, that's how Christ deals with sin. Now, the believer has to die to sin. When we get saved by the grace of God, we die to sin. In other words, what happens when we get saved? Amen. We get out of the sinning business. Now, that's kind of quite contrary to what some people would have you to believe. They believe that you can, be a drunk and get saved and keep drinking. I told a drunkard that one day, I said, hey, when you get saved, you can drink all the liquor you want to. He looked at me twice and three times and kept a looking. I said, that's right. Amen. He didn't understand that, but a few years later he got saved. He said, preacher, he called me up on the phone. I'd been moved off. And he said, hey, I got saved. I said, you been a drinking? He said, not liquor no more. I'm from another fountain. Amen. And I've always tell him, hey, well, you can change fountains, brother. That's what will happen to you when you get saved. All right. And so I'm saying to you, by looking at this tonight, then there's no change. Then there's no dead to sin or no death to sin. When we get saved, we die to sin. We don't want to sin no more. We do, but we don't want to. If you've got a desire to sin tonight, you're not saved. Amen. You said, preacher, I sure like some of them sins You may do it. You may have a craving for it. But if you love it down in your heart and desire it, hey, I want to tell you tonight, you need to get rid of it. You need to die to sin. And then, not only will the believer die to sin, but the unbeliever will die in his sin. You've got to remember this. He'll die and go to hell without God. So everybody has to deal with sin. I hope you've dealt with it tonight in the right manner. Now, I want to show you some things from the Scriptures. We're going to use the Scriptures to do it. The word rapture, or the second coming, or the snatching out, or the catching out, or the coming of the Lord from the saints of God, has never been taught in the Old Testament. That's why it's a mystery. You understand that? I didn't say the second coming wasn't taught. It is. We're going to give you some scriptures on that tonight. But the Jew never could see anything like the church is looking for tonight. What are you looking for? I'm listening for a shout and looking for the Lord to come in the clouds, in the air, to receive the saints of God. Amen. Now here's what Paul said. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now he's talking to the believers. He's talking to the saints of God. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's not talking to the lost. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now sleep, in this sense, is death. Amen. We're not all going to go to the graveyard, is what he's saying. But we shall all be changed. Amen. The Bible teaches us we're going to get a new body. And then it goes on through this scripture, and he said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it's going to take place. A twinkling is faster than a bat. Amen. And I'm not talking about one that flies. I'm talking about faster than you can bat your eye. It's just a little twinkle of your eye. Brother, that's suddenly. It's going to take place quickly. I don't believe it's going to take the Lord a long time to exit out the saints of God on this earth. Amen. The trumpet's not going to sound one night and Fox News and ABC and NBC is going to cover it and they're going to dismiss and single droves and get out of here one by one. It'd take 2 or 3 days as we're leaving. I believe it'll be in a moment and the twinkling of an eye when the trumpet sounds, we go! Amen. Now that's how it is. That's what he says in the Scriptures. Now he said, at the last trump. So that means we're going to have a trumpet. We're going to talk about the players here in a minute. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now there's different views of the coming of the Lord in the day of grace. And we'll see this from the Scriptures a little bit. I'm not going to get into the views that many people talk. Well, I've been raised here in the Middle Mountains of Georgia. And brother, I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of different ideas about when the Lord's coming, how the Lord's coming. And some of them, one fellow said, I believe that the church is going to go through part of the tribulation. Another said, I believe the church is going to go through none of the tribulation. I believe the church is going to go, you know, after the tribulation. And so forth, there are all kinds of little ideas. But the Scriptures will clear all that up. And I don't have time to get involved in that tonight. I'll just give you a few things. Turn over with me right quick to the book of John. Hold your place there. Turn over to the book of John, chapter number 5. And I'll tell you where some folks are getting messed up with the Scriptures. And when I clarify and show you something from this tonight, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you that the word rapture and the snatching out or the calling out of the saints of God was not recorded, as I said a while ago, in the Old Testament. But I got another news for you. It's not even predicted and mentioned in the 4 Gospels. That's why people are all mixed up. Amen. And I'll tell you why it's not in. You can't find the rapture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Don't look at me like that. I'll give you some reason for it in a minute. And prove that to you. But John chapter 5, you say, well, if you ain't, why are you going to John 5? Here's where people get mixed up. You got to remember that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preached and taught the gospel of the kingdom. They were preaching that there was going to be a king and a kingdom established, and the Jews were looking for a Messiah that they could crown as a king. And John the Baptist, in a message I preached some time back, John the Baptist preached the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. He was preaching to the Jews. When they came preaching, He said, don't go to the Gentiles or the house of them. He said, go to the Jews. Jesus sent His disciples to preach to the Jews. And He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I can give you scripture after scripture on that. Now, John chapter 5, verse 28. John 5, 28. Here's where people get it mixed up. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Now, when the Lord says something's coming, you can count on it. In the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that every person that's in the grave will hear His voice. Why? Jesus said it. The Word of God states it. Every person's going to hear His voice that are dead. Amen. You got that, didn't you? What are you trying to say, preacher? This. Look at the next verse. And shall come forth. He said, all that are in a grave are going to hear His voice, and they're going to come forth, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When I got to this verse, you can see it, and you know it as well as I do, that it tells us there's two resurrections. Two of them. Plain as the nose on your face. They said those that have done good, they're going to raise to the resurrection of life. And then there's going to be another group that's going to raise to the resurrection of damnation. Now some people look at this thing and they say, one day God's going to speak. They used to tell me this as a boy. Some of these churches would say, then the preacher would get up and preach and said, the Lord's coming and everybody is going to get up and it's going to be over. And there's still some looking for that tonight. And amen. I'm not going to argue with them. Amen. I mean, there's a time I didn't understand it myself. I'm trying to give you a mystery about the rapture. And let's look at this. Now, what they're going to do? The Bible said there's going to be some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. Now, this is two different resurrections. There's going to be a time when the saints of God are going to raise. And you'll find this resurrection of life, this resurrection, the first one here, is predicted and declared and shown to us in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, the one I read tonight. That's the resurrection of life. Now, where's the resurrection of damnation? Chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And death and hell gave up the dead. And all that were in hell, they were delivered up. And they were cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And once in a while I get on that, I say, you know, hell's not going to be forever. Amen. Just to get the attention of the people. Because that's a lot of people, you know, you just get to, sometimes you're sitting there asleep, daydreaming. And so you got to throw in something. Amen. Here it is. While you're daydreaming, hell won't be forever. That always gets people to look at. But death and hell is going to deliver up the dead, and then death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the book says. Study that. I've preached that and I've heard people say, I never didn't know that. Amen. And I preached it several times and after three or four times somebody catches it. It's good. That's why I keep preaching it. It may catch on to you after a while. Now, let's go back and look at something. Now, there is no gospel mentioned. I mean, no gospel, but no rapture mentioned in the gospels. Go with me tonight to Matthew chapter 24. I want you to look at this. Now, the Jews are looking for a resurrection. They're looking for a sense of the Lord coming in the sense that He's coming back when they're giving us the Scripture in chapter 24. And He's talking to the Jews. You've got to remember this. Chapter 24. That's the big chapter that straightens us out on a lot of things. They came to Jesus and they said to Him, Lord, what's it going to be? Tell us about the coming and the end of the world. In verse number 3. Here's the question. Look and see what He's saying. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, as one by one, and the little small group, it wasn't a big crowd, saying, tell us when these things shall be. And what shall be the sign of Thy coming? Now the Jews always look for a sign. That's the reason sometimes you Baptists look like you got a little Jew in you. You're always wanting to see something. Want a few signs. Amen. Unless I see it. Ain't that what Philip said? Amen. Or Thomas. What did Thomas say? Thomas said, except I see. Amen. The nail prints. Some of us are Thomases. Now, he said,
What shall be the sign of thy coming? Notice this last sentence. And of the end of the world, or the end of the age. They were looking for the wind-up of it. Now listen, at this particular time in Matthew 24, they had never heard of a thing called the church. I do know that in the 16th chapter, real previous to that, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But they did not understand what that was. Now we're going to save that because we're going to get into the mystery of the church one of these nights. And when we do, I want to have a little to preach on it. And it's too much to cover tonight. So what they're doing is here's the church, and they're not seeing it. And the church is not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as we know it today. It's talked about, but not as per se. In verse 4 it said, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Have you ever heard of anybody doing that in your day? I have. Not too long ago, somebody said he was Jesus. And there have been others come through and said he's Christ. Now we recognize that we've seen that in our day. It was in the days of Jesus and in the days of the apostles and those men, but it's also today. Verse number 5, For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Have you ever heard of wars and rumors of wars? Constantly, don't you? See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now we know we're still there. The end hasn't come yet. Now look at verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen it more lately than you ever have? Yes, getting worse and worse, is it not? Then it said, he goes on down here and he says, And kingdom against kingdom. And then he said, And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Have you seen that? More earthquakes are taking place now than they ever have. You go back and study it, you'll find they're taking place more, and they're getting worse and worse. Now, the Bible said in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, under verse number 8 in my Bible, I've got myself a little dashed line that I draw across it. Right under it, not on the words, but under it. And that's there to tell me where I look real quickly and go back and show you. Verse number 9 changes the subject. The Bible said in verse 9, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the Jewish people. He's talking to the Jews. Now he's not talking to the church. The church has not come into play yet. The church is seeing earthquakes and famines and pestilences, and the church is seeing all these things, rumors of wars, and kingdoms rising against kingdoms. But tonight, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. I realize we've got a few stragglers who are going around doing some of that thing in the name of their God. And we always have had that, and we always will have that. But that's not what he's talking about in verse number 9. There's going to come a time when they're going to deliver those Jews up and kill them. This is not even talking about Hitler. Not even talking about that. This is talking about something else. Go on. He said, And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's talking to the Jews. And he said, And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We use this sometimes in the church age. I heard preachers use that, but this is still to the Jew. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, here's where some of them tonight that build their whole denominations on, you've got to hold on, hold out, and stay with it or you're going to lose it. They'll use this scripture. I'm going to tell you, he's talking to the Jew here, and the Jew's going to have to run for his life. When the rapture of the church takes place and the tribulation hour sets over and the Antichrist sets in. Amen. Somebody don't believe in the Antichrist, you're in trouble.
Amen. I believe in the Antichrist. Well, I say this. I believe there will be. I don't believe in Him. Amen. I believe in Jesus. Amen. Don't want to get it confused. But I believe there will be an Antichrist. Somebody said, who is it? I don't know. I'll be out of town. I don't really care. I'm not concerned about it. Back yonder years ago, they sat down and got the mark and numbers and put it down and said, oh, Henry Kissinger's going to be the Antichrist. Then I heard them say Ronald Reagan, according to the numbers of his name, was going to be the Antichrist. Amen. And I heard them tell this and that, and they've named one after another. And now I've heard them say that Obama is going to be the Antichrist. I hear them talk about it. Hey, he may be alive and well and fixing to take place and get into position. But listen, I am not wasting my time on trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. I just want to major on the Christ. Now, he said in verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Are we preaching the gospel of the kingdom tonight? I'm not. I am not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Listen to me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all preached in those Gospels the gospel of the kingdom. What's that? That Christ is going to set up a kingdom and He's going to become the King and He's their Messiah and they're going to rule and reign with the Lord. They're looking for a kingdom. I'm preaching the gospel of grace. Paul said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Now, but he says they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And see, that's where people get it all mixed up. Somebody said, the Lord's not coming until the whole world hears the gospel. Mark this down, ladies and gentlemen. When the rapture takes place, the saints of God goes out of here, and the Holy Spirit, the restraining force tonight, goes out, the mystery of iniquity that already, worketh, He's going to be revealed. And that's still one of the mysteries. We're going to talk about that mystery when we get over in the book of Thessalonians. We ain't got there yet. And you're going to find that He's going to be loosed on the earth. And when He's loosed on the earth, then what He's going to do, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. Them little Jews are going to go up and down the country. 144,000 of them. It's going to put the Jehovah's Witnesses to shame. Amen. They think they are, you know, the 144,000. And they know they outnumbered that now. And they know that, and I've asked one time, what you going to do with 144,000 plus now? They thought they said, well, now God's going to choose 144,000 of them. Now, wouldn't that be something, working for somebody and working for something for some cause? And finding out and thinking that you was part of them, and then all of a sudden now you're running a race now, and you may be picked, and you may not be for the 144,000. Now God's going to seal 144,000 what? Jews, not Gentiles. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and they're going throughout the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The King is coming. I'll prove to you He's going to. Amen. I got to get, boy. I thought I'm going to get two. I ain't even going to get this one done. And so then it said in verse number 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the book of Daniel, the prophet stand in the holy place, who is this? Going to be the Antichrist. Now this is dealing with the Jews. Now what's happening? You can mark it down, and I've got those little ditto lines across the little spotted lines across my Bible between verse number 8 and verse number 9, and I say that the rapture will take place somewhere between verse 8 and verse 9. Amen. You can mark that down tonight and go study that, and we won't argue if you don't believe it. But the rapture's not mentioned. Now, would you turn over into the book of Revelation, hurriedly. I'm running tight on the schedule tonight. I've slowed down and got too slow and missed too much. Not missing much, but I'm not going to get my whole lot in. I want to get in. In chapter number 3 of the book of Revelation, and we're studying the seven churches of Asia in our Sunday school, just getting us started on that. Can you look with me, please, at verse number 20 of chapter number 3? The Laodicean church is the worldly church. It's lost all its hope and gumption. It's lost everything. It's a church that says it has need of nothing.
But I want you to see where Christ is. We started in Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus, and He's walking in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. But the end of the church age, in Laodicea, where is Christ? Verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You said, now that's not talking about the church. Yeah, he's still talking about the church. The church of Laodicea. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now he's closed out that letter. Where do you find Christ at the end of the church age? He's on the outside knocking on the door. That's where the Lord is in this day and age tonight. He's on the outside of most churches. I'm talking about religions done covered the land. Christ is not even in most of the services across America. I'm not being critical. I'm not being out of line. I'm saying tonight there's a lot of churches go to have service together. They go in and worship and do their little thing, and the Lord has never even been there. He's on the outside wanting in. Well, when he's knocking on the door, notice what chapter 4 and verse 1 said. "After this I looked, and behold," what? After what? After he's at the outside and the church age is gone, which is the present age, at the time appointed, he said, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." From chapter number 3, verse number 22, to chapter 4, verse 1, brother, the Lord comes, and I believe you'll find the rapture taking place, and the saints of God called out. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Now let's turn to something else. Let's turn, please, right quickly, to 1 Thessalonians. I've got two or three more places to go, and then we'll quit. And I may have to come back and clear up some things that I may have left a little clouded for you tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You've heard this scripture. I've preached on it many times. "But I would not," in verse number 13, "but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That's the saints of God that have died. "That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now how can He bring them unless they're already gone? Where are they? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody said, "We die, we're going to the grave." Amen. Well, you may be, but I'm not. They're going to cast a carcass down in the ground. Amen. But there's a part of me that you're not seeing tonight. You're hearing me, but you're not seeing me. All you see is the flesh that this thing's wrapped up in. Amen. Listen to me. But I've got a part of me tonight you cannot see, but you can hear me. Thank God for that. Brother, the moment I lay down this old body and it goes back to the skin worms, eats it up and goes back to turn to dust, brother, I'll be over in glory shouting it out. And while you're weeping at my funeral, if you do, amen, I'll be shouting it out, having my time of my life that I've never had before. Amen. I'm kind of getting excited. Amen. Somebody said, "I fear dying." Amen. I don't fear dying. I'm ready to meet the Lord. Amen. I've had a good journey. I've had a good time. Glory to God. Amen. He paid the price for me. I belong to Him. I'd like to go home. Would you say amen right there? Now listen. The Bible said He's going to bring the souls of them with Him. That's what He teaches us here. Brother, that's what He teaches. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We're not going to stop them. We're not going to go fast them or ahead of them. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Where are we going? In the air. "So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Let's look at the players now. Who are the players at the rapture? Number one, Jesus, the Son of God. Number two, we got some shouters. Somebody's going to shout.
Amen. The voice of the archangel. So we got some archangels. Ain't but two of them left that's any good. Amen. One of them's Michael and the other's Gabriel. I don't know which one's going to take care of it, but one of them's going to do some shouting. And with the trumpet's going to sound. Somebody's going to blow the trumpet. Amen. I think there'll be some shouting on both ends. By the time they shout and I understand what's going on, I'm going to shout. Amen. I don't know about you. Be leaving the ground at the same time. I'll be going to be exciting to see the saints of God. Some of you dead rascals are sitting around here. Brother, well, at the time the trumpet sounds all this, I'm going to see you get excited for the first time in your entire life. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Amen. Amen. It's going to be amazing to go up in the air and look over and there's somebody just been sitting and looking at me for 30 years and all of a sudden they're going, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. And I'm going to shout and I'm going to say, phew, gone. Amen. Even faster than they are. Hear me? I've done practiced up a little bit. What do you got for an excuse? Anyhow, the Lord's coming back. But can I show you something here? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, caught up, caught up. See that? Together with them in the what? Clouds. Do you believe Jesus is going to put His feet on the Mount of Olives? Well, He will in the wind up. But not right here. So when the saints of God are going out, when's He going? Where are we going to meet Him at? We're going to meet Him in the air. You said, preacher, Abraham didn't see that. No, he didn't. Isaiah didn't see that, preacher. No, he didn't. Jeremiah didn't see that, preacher. No, he didn't. Amen. John the Baptist didn't see that either. He didn't know nothing about the church. Well, two more scriptures. Zechariah. I'd give you a lot more scriptures, but time's done got me. You done... I've done wore out my welcome and you're ready to go. Chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah. Chapter 14 of the book of Zechariah. Now, did I read to you correctly a while ago that He's coming in the clouds in the air? That's where He's going to get us. That's what He said, didn't He? He said we're going to be caught up in the clouds, right? All right. Now, if you read this Scripture to be the same place that I'm fixing to read, that's going to be a contradiction, and I want you to know there's no contradictions in the Bible. If there's anything you call a contradiction, it's going to be between them two ears you got plastered on the side of your head. Zechariah 14, verse 4. Zechariah 14, 4. Where in the world, Zechariah? Back up to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and go one more back. Chapter 14, verse 4. And His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, and that is right, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And here they're going to read on, and you'll find out that Jesus will one day put His feet on the Mount of Olives. That's what the Old Testament saints saw. That's what they were looking for. That's what they died looking for. Trusting by faith that one day He would put His feet on the Mount of Olives. They had a promise of that. So they did not see the rapture. Look at Revelation chapter 19, I believe. Let me turn over and see where I want to go. See which one of these scriptures I want to use right now. Revelation chapter 19. A lot of things have taken place from chapter 4 up to 19. But the Bible said in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." Who is the only one that we know in the Bible that's called the Word of God? Jesus Christ. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword,
that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you'll read on down, you'll find what happened. He comes back. And brother, there's a remnant that's slain, and we'll find that there's a supper that's called, and so forth. And this is the wind up of the book of Revelation. If we get into that, we'll be here a while. But what I'm trying to tell you is he's coming back. He's coming back one time in the clouds for you and me. That's the mystery that the Old Testament saints could not see. He's coming after me. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the rapture. But I know he's coming in the Revelation. And he's going to go back and pull them Jews back out of off the sideline, and they're going to be dealing with them during the tribulation hour. And there'll be a nation born in a day. I wish that we had time to go through all that. And most of you doesn't know about it, but I'd like to go back over it again. I like to refresh my memory. I like for God to talk to me again on it. Amen. Every time I read it fresh and anew, it's another promise that he's coming. And it gives me some strength, and I praise God for it. So that tonight, in a nutshell, is the gospel, is the mystery of the rapture. Or the mystery of the second coming for the church, if you don't want to call it rapture. Amen. I don't care whether you call it rapture or not. But there's going to be a snatching out or a catching up or a catching out. Amen. I've always said this, I'm scared of heights. I don't like horses. And I'm bound for both of them. I've only rode a horse one time, fell off of it, and that's enough. They just don't know. I rode it twice. First time I rode a horse, my daddy took it. We rode an old mule bareback to town because the car was tore up, but I was a little fella, and it took me ages to get all that hair off of me. Stinks. Riding a horse stinks. Amen. But somehow I think we're going to have some fancy stallions in glory coming back. First time I remember as an older boy fell off that horse and fell in the creek with a white shirt. My mama thought she was going to kill me because I'd just been to church and I was going to go back to church that night. And I had a long sleeve shirt and mud all over it. Boy, my mama didn't like that. And the other thing is I'm scared of heights. I'd stand on one of them pews and be scared to death. And I'm telling you, when the rapture takes place, it's going to take the grace of God. Amen. That's right. Praise God. So I'm glad I know what the Scriptures teach. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I pray this will help you. This is the mystery of the rapture. And there could be a lot more said. I have not covered it. It's entirely. Oh, we left out so much, so much, so much. This is called cramming. We had to cram this tonight. But I do appreciate tonight what the Scriptures teach. And I pray that they help you a little bit to understand. You said, I already know what you're talking about. That's right. To the mysteries that God has already revealed, they're not mysteries to you anymore. They're mysteries to the world and they're mysteries to the unbeliever. Mysteries of the Jew and the world and the unbelievers. Let's stand. Not mysteries to those who already know it.